It is Monday, February 13th, 5:30 p.m. That means Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, will be starting momentarily. We want to update the dam slash spillway slash just the mess that's going on in Oroville right now.
Utter chaos. Yeah.
Obviously, most of you know by now there is no more water spilling over the auxiliary, which they're calling it now, the auxiliary spillway. The evacuation has not plan has not been lifted. It is still in effect, meaning you cannot go back to your homes. I'm sorry for all our displaced neighbors, but they
definitely hearts going out to everyone right now.
No doubt. And Cal Fire wants you to have a safe and orderly return. So when they deem it is safe for the masses to get back and get back to your homes and back to your lives, we will let you know here. I'm sure every media outlet in the area is covering the situation closely. So we hope all of you that are displaced and are listening to us right now are somewhere safe. And we thank you for joining us, and we wish you a speedy return to your homes. But we are talking about practice. We want to shout out our sponsors before we start the show. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Downtown Chico Business Association, supporting downtown Chico for over 40 years. The DCBA brings you Thursday night markets, the Friday night concert series, A Taste of Chico, the Christmas preview, and tree lighting Treat Street. And more. For a full schedule of what's happening downtown, visit downtownchico.com. Help keep Chico vibrant by shopping locally and coming on downtown. So, like I said, Chico's only locally produced sports talk show starts right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game. Talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. Listen, we talking about practice. How silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. That is who we be, talking about practice. Your man, Jarrell Gilbert here, alongside my partner in crime, Derek Usumaki. What's happening, Derek?
Yo, what's gravy?
We're hoping Noobs gets here safe and soon.
Yeah.
I think he might be suffering from a Super Bowl hangover still. But
Part two, yeah. Still going. Good. 2 weeks
it's
strong.
So, we'll see here. Happy Black History Month, everyone. Again, all our displaced neighbors, we hope you guys are all doing okay, being safe out there.
It's tough out there, man. We've, everyone in Chico right now is probably aware of the situation that's going on just south of us.
Yeah.
I had some people come in, so hopefully everyone's safe and got a place to shelter down.
Yeah, no doubt. And those of you who are displaced and staying in Chico, we welcome you. We hope you, in this time of extreme stress, can find a little peace and solitude here in our quaint little town.
Yeah, we're a big little town,
No doubt.
A lot of amenities out there for the people. So, and like I said, we're a nice bunch of people, I like to think,
I think so.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to KD's return to OKC. Charles Oakley versus James Dolan. Hopefully get Noob's take on the Super Bowl. That'd be great. I'm also going to get to the greatest obituary I've read maybe ever. I guess that really depends on your sense of humor, but I find it hilarious. Our most hated fan bases, now I know, and Derek's always popular foot and mouth. So we'll start with KD versus OKC. That seems like a reasonable place to start.
Yeah, no, it was the most prevalent thing that happened, I guess, in the sports world. Basketball fashion and whatnot.
No doubt. I did find it a And we have Mr. Jonathan Newberry. We're going to get him on the mic here in just a second.
We got Noobs and a four-legged friend as well right now, but he's not welcome. Not in the studio.
Not in the studio.
Not welcome.
Finn, what's happening, Finn?
Yes.
So, anyway, Noobs, just to catch you up to speed, you're walking in at the perfect time because we were just discussing OKC or KD's return to OKC. And obviously, a lot of talking points here. I just wanted to get, what was your main takeaway, Derek, with the game itself, or let's just with the event itself?
I find it very comical, the whole bitter feud that's going on between KD and Russ. I think it's a great little soap opera to our, you know, reality show that is the NBA, or what is sports in general, I feel. And they add a nice little spice to the mixture, definitely, that the media loves to hound on. And the OK fans, you know, definitely showed up in force with their full-on disdain for Kevin Durant. Some of them were out there actually supporting the guy, which I appreciate those people too, because he's still a great player. Whether you know, whatever he did to your team or whatnot, you know, it's a business out there, and I feel people take a lot of things too personally. And
he gave him 8 years of blood, sweat, and tears, right?
Yeah, I mean, he took him as, he did a lot of things for them that OKC, granted, they didn't even have an organization until really KD was around, so they got spoiled a little bit with getting
Yeah, there's history in OKC.
I mean, in Seattle. Yeah. But yeah, I agree.
If it was Seattle, then I could understand maybe a little bit if he left that like them, because they're an organization that was searching for something and had never quite achieved it.
But I mean, everybody has the right to, you know, test the agency or the free agency waters.
Oh, right? Most definitely. Yeah.
What I mean? So it's like, I have a little bit of problem with these people who, like, I don't know, you know, they're just not appreciative of what the guy gave them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, I mean, they were, like, within a hairbreadth of the finals last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they made the finals as well one time.
I mean, I personally kind of didn't like it, but at the same time, if I was an OKC fan, I definitely would not boo the dude.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's I want to get to the OKC fans a little bit later, but I really want to roast them a little bit later. But we'll hold off on that. For now, I do find that point interesting, that I get it. If you want to boo them, whatever. But to take it to the next level with the T-shirts and the cupcake and the, you know, I don't know. I thought it was a little much for a guy who is the greatest player in franchise history, who put OKC on the map, who made them relevant in the first place. I mean, yeah, they have Russ, who's an amazing player, but I mean, KD's a generational type player.
Just to clarify, we're talking about franchises in OKC,
in
right?
OKC,
not
yeah.
including Seattle. Okay,
right.
Because I would say Gary Payton would probably be, but
sure.
Never mind. Sorry to.
I don't think the Seattle fans are very likable of the OKC fans. I think they kind of don't like them because they kind of. I mean,
they stole
probably,
team.
Yeah, they stole their team essentially.
Right, but
so
I just
it's
like
bitterness.
There's this cognitive dissonance sometimes between, like, you know, like Baltimore doesn't really recognize their Cleveland Browns history because
you know,
there's
another
Cleveland Browns, so there's, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like technically the New Orleans Hornets or Pelicans now are technically the original Charlotte Hornets.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's, I don't know, it's just weird when you talk about franchise history like that. So if if Seattle ever gets another team, then it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because technically the...
But I didn't want to, like, derail our conversation here. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I do want to get back to just, I don't know, I've found so much about it fascinating. And just the way the fans were wearing the cupcake shirts, and I just thought it was all kind of childish. And I personally just don't understand the behavior because I've never really been... I've been a sports fan my whole life, but I've never been that angry with anyone for leaving the team I root for. Because at the end of the day, the team is only looking out for themselves. And as soon as you are no longer an asset, they'll ship you off. So if you, not to mention.
Yeah, you hardly ever see the owners getting booed.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is a cutthroat business.
Right. Now. Well, not to mention the way these.
I mean, sometimes you do.
These franchises work. It's so much different than any other industry that we go into as far as the draft process, because you have no real say into where you go. And so if the guy's given you 8 years in OKC for, I mean, out of all places, he's given you 8 years there. He was drafted to Seattle. The team obviously moved. And I just don't understand, like, these guys, if it would be one thing if, okay, or if Kevin Durant coming out was like, I want to go play for OKC and got to choose it and left, I could see having a little more vitriol, but they draft you. You don't have any saying in that, and that's so much different than any other work environment that we're used to. You know what I'm saying? So it's, I don't know. It's just,
yeah, it's not like you have like four or five different offers. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
when you're getting drafted. Yeah, I mean, there's very few guys throughout history who have been able to leverage some kind of position when it comes to that. Eli Manning comes to mind. John Elway.
Yeah.
Right? Guys that like would threaten to go to baseball.
Right.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing. But it's very rare. I mean, 99.9% of the guys have zero choice in the teams that they go to.
And again, I mean, the whole holding these guys to that team, like that's the only place they can play for, is just selfish on your behalf, I feel, as, you know, as a fan. Like, again, you're a fan of the team. You should be a fan of the sport as a whole in general, because it's, you know, if you're a fan of the game and that team, you understand and appreciate the game, that, you know, what the process is. And to be able to hold that guy to, like, as almost like, you know, he's dead to you right now and burning your jersey and whatnot. It's just like, really? The guy is still putting on a show, and he's done it very much against OKC, especially, especially this season. He has really torched them. And I think that's kind of his personal, like, hey, you might hate me, but I'm still a badass player.
Yeah, I find it odd that there's almost like this certain level of ownership from the fans, like, you're ours, you know, how could you leave us?
Yeah.
And that's, I just find that bizarre. I mean, these guys are just playing sports, you know, and
like, I mean,
it's a business.
As a Laker fan, like, there is that mumbling of Kobe Bryant leaving. If he left, I definitely think I would have been upset and like, oh man, we just lost Kobe Bryant, but on to the next one, you know, like, all right,
I think it's harder though for, and I'm not excusing that kind of behavior or whatever, but you're gonna get that because there's kind of a WWE mentality sometimes with these people where they want to have a villain, that kind of thing.
But
you know, to the point of like, if say he left like a bad organization, a lot of the fans would be like, okay, you know what, the guy's, he wants to go to a winner, he wants to win a championship, right? But when you're basically had a 3-1 lead against Golden State, you were a game away. You're maybe a piece away, maybe not. I mean, you had him on the ropes. So it's like that idea, because what that says to the fans in a way is that KD's saying, I can't win here. I will never get over the hump, much like LeBron did to Cleveland. I can't win here until they fix the lottery 4 years in a row for them. But anyway.
I digress.
Anyway, but I mean, so like,
come,
you know,
out even when he don't.
But that's the thing. It's like, you know, Cleveland was right there. You know what I mean? I mean, OKC, I would argue, was even closer. You know, even though Cleveland,
I mean,
had
they had more pieces than Cleveland ever had
for sure. And you have, and you also had like another top three player right there with you.
Yeah.
So from a competitive standpoint, like my only hang up with it was if I was putting myself in KD's shoes, which clearly I'm not, but if I could make a comparable amount of money and try and get it done where you've been with this other guy who's like the Batman to your Batman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Robin, depending on that day. You know what I mean? But like, they're both right there in my opinion. So it's like, you can get it done. Like, my competitive fire would be like, no, we're going to get it done here.
Sure.
We're right there. You know, but KD felt differently, obviously.
Yeah. I mean,
now they're stacked and arguably the best team in the last 3 years. They've won more games than anybody, including the Bulls and the Lakers, for a 3-year run.
And I mean, they're also showing how KD is being able to spend more time on the bench right now, saving his body, producing. He's being more effective usually on the floor right now because not everything revolves around him. And I think he kind of realized that, sure, he can be like a focal point of a team, but that's a heavy toll to take. And I mean, it's a lot of, you're being hanged on the cross many times because you didn't produce. And I think he's the type of guy that doesn't like being put in that position of, oh man, you guys don't like me because I didn't produce a championship for you guys. While when you're with the Warriors, there's so many other pieces out there right now that can take that burden off of him.
No doubt.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast over the weekend, and he had Kevin Durant on for over an hour, and it was a really cool type of style.
That guy can talk for over an hour.
It was great. It was a really cool style interview because Kevin Durant was super relaxed. It was after they just beat the Bulls. It was late at night in some undisclosed location in San Francisco. But basically, Kevin Durant was speaking to his motivations for leaving, and his business manager was there, and they were both kind of talking about it. And Kevin Durant was saying, like, winning was never something they brought up. Money was never something they brought up. Because a lot of people were saying, oh, the Silicon, you know, he wants to go and live this new lifestyle and take advantage of all that Silicon Valley has to offer.
Yeah.
And he was saying, look, like, nowadays you can do that from anywhere. I can find out what Silicon Valley has to offer from OKC or New York or wherever, you know, like
everything is a quick flight away, especially for these guys.
And what he was saying is, for him, hanging out with the guys, Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, Steph Curry, KD, Clay. He was saying he just really liked, enjoyed being in those guys' company. He really thought the way they thought about basketball was something different, you know, kind of eye-opening. And that was his entire motivation for going. You know, obviously he wants to win championships, but it wasn't like, oh, it's going to be easy there. You know, he was even saying in the interview, he's like, you know, had I stayed in OKC, I think we definitely would be contending with the Warriors year in and year out. And he was like, but it wasn't a matter of me trying to get over the hump. It was more like, I really enjoy these guys. I think they think different, and I think they're going to push me to grow. And when you hear him break it down like that, it just kind of just let you into this human level of decisions like this. You know, the same thing when LeBron left. I was like, who wouldn't leave Cleveland for Miami in your mid-20s? I would leave right now. Miami is so much doper than Cleveland. Cleveland, nope. No disrespect, DJ PhD. Cleveland is awful for the most part.
Again, no disrespect.
No disrespect, PhD.
And everyone else in Cleveland.
Everyone in your family from Cleveland is awesome, and everyone I know from Cleveland is awesome.
Cleveland gets a lot of slack, man. Like, they get a lot of like shame and embarrassment, I feel.
Cleveland?
Yeah, I've never been there, so I can't. I've never been there, so I can't like say anything.
Do you mean like the sports teams or the city
itself? The city itself.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not...
Because you can't throw that much shade if you haven't been there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I've been there. It's been a while. Okay. And since LeBron came back.
When was the last time you were there? Let me just ask you that.
When I was 13,
it does not count, I feel. You didn't really embrace the city. You were on somebody else's agenda the entire time.
Going to drink there.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't really, as an adult, I feel you can actually develop an opinion of a city. When you're a kid, you're just there on somebody else's time, and you're seeing what they're seeing.
Agree with that. I think if
you don't know what Cleveland really has to offer.
You hung out, because they have this whole, I don't want to say refurbished, but
they're doing what they can to make their downtown fun. Yeah,
they got the Hall of Fame.
There are a lot of people
A lot of people, hardworking community who's been really kind of down and out with a lot of the, you know.
Yeah, you can't. Closures. The amount of shade we're throwing at Cleveland is just a bit much. For again, someone went there when he was 13.
At least at the fan base there. I hate that fan base. We're going to get into worse fan bases later, so we'll save that. Let's get into what happened actually on the court. I think there was a lot of talk about the Westbrook KD exchange when Russell just kept saying, I'm coming, and that never really happened because OKC is pretty doesn't have a whole lot of talent surrounding.
Especially when your arguably second best player hurts himself by just slamming his hand on the bench. Talk about being fragile, man. That was so funny. I started
You're talking about Enes Kanter?
Yeah, Enes Kanter. In his own hand by just out of frustration. I was like, again, he's arguably their second best option out there.
Not as good as Gus Frerotte knocking himself out after headbutting a wall.
Yes, there you go.
That's still number one.
Yeah, because consciousness was still a part of Enes Kanter after the incident happened. When you lose consciousness, you're definitely in a worse state, I feel.
Wasn't it Amari who missed all those months after punching the fire extinguisher glass and cut his arm open? You remember that back in MSG, back in the day, after, I don't know if it was a playoff loss, or no, I think he missed time in the playoffs because he did that. But anyway, yeah, anyone who's ever punched something and broken something and knows that embarrassment, I've been there.
I have too.
It's the worst. So I actually feel bad for Enes Kanter. And honestly, I'm starting to feel bad for Westbrook. It's great that he stayed in OKC. If not, that whole fan base might just commit mass suicide.
Drinking the Kool-Aid?
Yeah, exactly.
Again, they have no reason to. They got a great 8 years. Okay, and the ninth year is not even they're fine. Like, cool your jets, OKC. So you've just been around.
Well, fan bases like Sacramento and Orlando and Oklahoma City, they need to be thankful, to be honest with you, that they have one team.
Yes.
You know, and they just better hope that Westbrook doesn't leave. What is he open for free agency next year?
He's just signed a 5-year extension, I think, or 4 years.
He did?
Yeah.
I mean, but he's always, I think there's an option for him to get out.
After three, though, so he's there for at least another two. I'm pretty sure.
I thought that he had an option to get out in maybe a year or two.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. It's fun to watch OKC fans squirm. I love that Draymond snapped back at that fan and said to him, this ain't the slave days. KD can go and play wherever he wants. I thought that was pretty interesting. Let's move on to Other male soap opera drama going on in the NBA. And thank you, by the way, NBA. We thought this was going to be a boring week after football's over. That usually takes up half the show. Dude, and the NBA just came in.
It's a full-on Bravo TV
right after
channel
football.
Right now.
It's been great.
It's great. I love
so
it.
So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Charles Oakley got kicked out of Madison Square Garden last week in pretty dramatic fashion. He was only there 4 minutes.
If you haven't seen videos of it, then I feel like you haven't been on the internet. Because this is everywhere.
Feel free to YouTube it. It's amazing
hilarious
footage. Yeah. It's something I've never seen before. But basically, 8 security guards roll up on your man, Oak. Oak was not having it, pushed some security guards, mushed a dude in his face, which is just the ultimate sign of disrespect. The only thing I think you could do worse than that is backhand someone, which is just funny. And Oak has done that a multitude of times. He is a habitual line stepper when it comes to backhanding people and slapping people. Ask Tyrone Hill, ask Charles Barkley, and ask a slew of other NBA athletes. But anyway, James Dolan has been, what's he doing? Because he has just been like a court jester the way he's been acting. He released that statement moments after Oak was escorted out of there.
Yeah.
And basically, at the end, he claimed that Oakley was being unruly and this and that. And then at the end said, we hope he gets the help he needs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is basically calling him an alcoholic. And then he went on Michael Kay's show and called him an alcoholic.
Okay, all right.
He actually called him an alcoholic.
I was saying, he's going after something. He's saying something's wrong with Oakley. And, again, Oakley says something that's completely different than what...
Worse than that, too. He said that he was physically and verbally abusive.
Right.
And that those are character flaws, but that they're exacerbated by substance use. He was on, four different programs. And in each one, there was varying levels of insinuation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I agree with you. He totally was calling him an alcoholic and also maybe even just
abusive. It really makes me wonder, how much longer can Dolan, hold the Knicks? Because the Knicks is, that's a proud organization.
I know that
physically, no matter what, he can have that control because it's his team, you know? But, I mean, how much longer are the fans really going to be able to put up with him like that, you know?
I mean...
I grant you. Are they going to stop going to the games? Because that's ultimately what you need to do.
Every game.
Exactly. That's kind of the problem. Well, he's got a monopoly on this, and he can't get rid of it. But
and the interesting thing about the whole situation is James Dolan has been more than defiant when it comes to even talk about selling the team. This is generational money. The same problem you always have with generational money.
Oh yeah,
right. When the kid takes over and he's wearing a polo, and the dad used to wear a 3-piece suit. You know, the kid shows up at 11. Dad used to show up at 6:30 in the morning. You know, I mean, it's just.
Just ask Jim Buss right now.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. Great example. But I just find the whole situation just it's shocking. It's funny. It's good fodder. That's for
totally.
For damn sure.
Again, in the NBA right now where it's kind of getting, we don't have much going on. Like I said, we thought we were going to have a lackluster week. But no, we just got, I feel like they're planning something. There probably is something just strewn along this entire season. Okay, we need certain things to happen each week. That way we keep it interesting, or maybe go a week without something, but something always comes up, and it's ridiculous how that always continues to happen. I mean, that's
it's
just
been
what you,
great.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's
been
awesome.
Great for us when we have to fill some time on the air, and football's over. This has been awesome. I want more of it.
We get to talk about Charles Oakley being oh man, that was just great video. I love it. It happened in the middle of the game too.
Yeah, no, it happened in the first 4 minutes. The game just got underway. I actually once took a cross-country flight from Oakland. I think it was Oakland. Might have been San Francisco to New York and sat next to Charles Oakley. I was a kid, and I don't know if they still do this because, it's been a while since I've been a kid. But when you fly by yourself when you're a kid, oftentimes the stewardess will move you up to first class so they can better keep an eye on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I want to say maybe I was 13, so I wasn't too young to take care of myself. Maybe I was younger than that.
You're pulling some strings, yeah.
But basically they brought me up there, and I plopped next to Charles Oakley, and I probably talked his ear off. I was a little fanboy and was talking about how he was the I got to see him. The first game I ever saw was in Madison Square Garden, and it was the Bulls were visiting, so I got to see Charles Oakley, and it was just he was a real cool dude, man. I mean, even for being as young as I was, he was sharing some stories, kind of behind the curtain stories about some stuff that went down in the league, and I don't know. I thought he was a super cool dude. So when I saw that go down, I just, I don't know. It was disappointing. But then to see the fallout afterwards. And did you guys see this, what the Knicks did? I think it was Saturday night when they brought all those players back.
I do not know.
Have you heard about this at all?
No, I actually haven't. No.
Oh, my God. Okay, they paraded out all these former Knicks, including Latrell Sprewell, who left there. He basically...
Yeah, that's a...
It was the worst breakup the Knicks had probably had with a player ever.
That's really showing it in
so they brought Sprewell
back.
So
no Oak was there,
Hold on, I could beat that.
All right.
They brought Vin Baker back, who played a total of 40 games in a Knicks uniform.
I mean, was Allen Houston at least there?
No.
No Allen Houston, okay.
No. All right. Larry Johnson, Grandmama was there. But,
Wow. Wait,
so what was that? You're saying that was a slap in the face to Oak or what?
I think it was a PR move in direct retaliation.
Now, granted, there probably was. I mean, that night could have just randomly happened.
Yeah,
I feel like this plan was like, so maybe Oak was part of that, but now he wasn't. But
no,
I feel like,
No. This was not scheduled.
You don't think that it was like...
How could they bring all those guys
back? Yeah, that's kind of hard to bring them all together right there.
If you pay them. How hard is it? Latrell Sprewell ain't got no money. You saw that video or that commercial he made last year when he was making fun of himself in that pizza shop? You guys remember?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
I wish I had.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's pretty muddy. That guy's got no money. He once turned down a $17 million a year contract and said, I got to feed my kids. Okay,
I really got to feel
that dude's got a spending habit.
I feel like we definitely have to see if like there was something planned out by before the season started that we're bringing back some
I'm
of these
telling
players,
you right but. Now, I read the report. There is not.
Okay, all right, fine.
Remember when he choked out PJ?
Yeah. That's when he went to the Knicks.
Yeah. He had a good year for them in the lockout season where they went to the finals.
Yeah.
He was a solid player.
He killed it. And then when he went to the Timberwolves, that was, how was that, in 04? KG's, the year KG won MVP. Well, anyway, he had a good year there.
Yeah, that was 04.
I just found it funny that they flew all these players in and, like, you know, the next home game. It was like, oh, you know, we got all these former players. How weird, you know? Like, and Vin Baker, I mean, for God's sakes.
Like, that's ridiculous.
That guy had a booze problem, so maybe it's like the whole redemption thing. They're bringing him back, but he played 40 games for the squad. Like, oh, let's pay homage to all the all-time greats.
So were they like unable to get like Mourning and Ewing? I mean, were those guys there too, or?
Ewing is a
Ewing's
coach.
He's a coach.
He's someplace out in the.
Mourning's just kicking it on Miami Beach all day.
Okay,
yeah.
Because I feel like maybe that's why they were reaching that far down to pull the Vin Bakers out of the world.
Yeah. Well, they probably couldn't get like the real people. So like, okay, we gotta like fill it, so we don't just have like three people here. So we'll have Vin Baker. I'm wondering if they did reach out for Allen Houston, because that's actually I wonder if they tried to get Stephon.
He was a solid player.
Like, come on, where's Stephon at? Where's Marbury?
He's in China. He's killing it over in China.
Is their league still going? I thought their league was over. I thought he just recently won, or maybe I'm thinking.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know the Chinese basketball calendar.
Yeah, neither do I.
I haven't been really up on it this year.
I forgot to put it on my wall, so.
You guys got anything else on this Oak versus James Dolan thing?
No, just keep producing this amazing stuff right now. It's great.
Yeah, please keep this going, because we don't have a whole lot. Pitchers and catchers report, and you know, maybe some soccer stuff. Not a whole lot going on.
As far as the Knicks go, though, it's kind of interesting to see Phil, you know, respond and like, you know, make these tweets, you know, and say that one report, you know, rang the bell or whatever. The guy's name was Ding.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, after I found that out, I was like, okay, maybe he wasn't trying to, you know. But he basically was saying what I interpreted as it was that the report struck a chord of truth. And basically the insinuation was that Carmelo doesn't have that deep desire to actually win, and that he's content with his businesses and content with his contract. And, you know.
I mean, that's a fair assumption. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know about that. I don't know if you can impugn a guy's desire to win. I mean, just because he holds the ball and you'd rather see the ball move a little bit more and have your triangle implemented.
I think
but you ain't coaching.
I mean,
dude.
Again, it's, you know, one you're thing not you coaching. Can see that as being a guy who thinks that he can do it all on his own, and that's kind of still a selfish mentality of realizing that you're not there because no one can ever do it on their own. Or, two, you'll see, I mean, a guy that's lackluster on defense as well, and like he really does care. You see all the great ones out there. They got to go both ways on the court, you know?
There's no doubt.
You know,
well, the Knicks get no free agents.
No,
right
they
now
don't.
Because
I mean,
their ownership has been a failure, and if anything, that entire fan base should be more than grateful for Carmelo. He he's stayed there through thick and thin. Every time they've tried to trade him, push him out, he just wants to be in New York. You know, he's played for a team. I think they've made the playoffs twice in his run there. They've never made it very deep.
Which, again, I mean, you can make it seem like, oh, yeah, the guy wants to stay and win in New York. Or it makes it seem like, why would you want to stay in New York when they're clearly not going anywhere right now? Like, wouldn't you maybe like, oh.
But is that his fault?
No, I mean, it's not. But again, it just goes to show you how. What is his deep desire to win? Which, I'm not trying to question that because I don't know the guy. But if Phil wants to make that assumption, he's closer to him in person.
But it's not
he's also,
like,
he's also, like, you know, undervaluing him now, too. Because by saying he doesn't have a desire to win, what kind of trade value is the guy going to bring in? You know what I mean?
I mean, they obviously, again, they haven't been able to get anything for him. No one has been able to bite on him since. I mean, Cleveland stuff went down. Boston didn't go through. I mean, they
well,
talked
yeah,
to Lakers
but when,
for a second.
Why
I mean,
wouldn't trade Kevin Love for him either?
Yeah, no, I know.
Kevin Love is a better fit on that team. If you got Melo over there and Kyrie and LeBron, like, there's not enough basketball.
Again, like, what do you think is Melo's value? Where do you see him, like, being...
He's like, I don't know, he's a pretty good player still.
He's still good. I mean, no doubt, he's still a good scorer, but he's not that, you know.
Well, speaking to his value, every day that Phil Jackson makes it more and more blatantly obvious that he doesn't want him there, he decreases his value.
Right. And that's not, again, that's Phil's fault, not Melo's fault. Melo King, I mean, whatever.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So,
like, right. I don't know still what
as a GM, he's shooting himself in the foot.
He's hustling backwards to the nth degree.
And again, I'm just saying, if Phil wants to say that, go out and say that. But again, that's your problem, Phil, and have fun dealing with it. You're probably not, I can't see him being in New York much longer.
I would disagree with the point that they're not going anywhere. I think with Porzingis there, you're going to see him develop into a really good player. Dirk Nowitzki with even a little bit more inside game, you know.
Again, that was in their draft, though. I still feel like you gotta bring people in from the outside.
Absolutely.
And they're not going to be able to attract anyone right now with an owner that, with, you know, James Dolan and Phil Jackson, who's developing this reputation.
No, I agree. And I mean, James Dolan, I think, has been a big problem for them, you know, as, at least from an image perspective. It goes way, way before this Charles Oakley incident.
For sure. You are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Just another reminder to all of you affected by the Oroville spillway. There is no more water coming over the emergency spillway. The evacuation is still in effect, however. I know they originally said that it was going to end at 4:15 today, but it is still in effect. As soon as Cal Fire decides that it is safe and they can provide a safe and orderly return to your homes, they will announce that, and I'm sure we will be on top of it. In fact, we won't have a choice because it'll just come over the EIS system, and you'll hear it through that. So
you won't have to hear us anymore. So
yeah.
I don't know who the real winners are here.
I mean, wow, what a crisis was averted last night. Thank God.
Most definitely. But hey, we still got some people we want to thank right now for putting the show on possible. So talking about practice. Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Earth Living Eco Home, bringing a non-toxic, healthy, and sustainable alternative to home improvement. Earth Living Eco Home carries non-toxic paint, stains, sealants, flooring, wall texturing alternatives, and more, including bedding and mattresses. Everything is made in the U.S. or is locally sourced at 2412 Park Avenue. For more information about making your home toxic-free, call Earth Living Eco Home at 487-7310. And we'll keep this news jazz vibe going right now. In the world,
news jazz vibe.
The news jazz
the
vibe.
New segment.
The news jazz vibe, man. I'm liking the music. Yeah. For all these out there right now who's so concerned about Brady's jersey, it is still missing. Robert Kraft is concerned that a piece of art is missing. It's like taking, quote, the great Picasso. Brady, the next Picasso, our culture is certainly progressing in my eyes. The Giants released Victor Cruz. Where to next for him? I don't know. Giants also released Rashad Jennings. Where to next? Again, I don't know.
Interesting.
The UConn women's basketball team goes for 100 straight victories against South Carolina tonight. That's starting right now, actually, at 6 o'clock. 100-0. When will it end? I don't know. Now on to Chico State basketball. Both men and women lost their game against Cal State San Marcos this past week. The men losing a close one 58-59, while the women's box score stood at 65-77 as time expired. They will look to get back on track away from home this Thursday the 16th against Stanislaus State. So go Wildcats.
Go Cats!
The Grammys happened last night. Some people won, more people lost.
Isn't that how all award shows by definition.
You're welcome for the generic news right now, guys.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I didn't watch the Grammys at all.
I don't want to distract you. Yeah,
okay. This reminds me of like early SNL right now.
Okay. Now, Playboy tells us that tattoos are attractive for reasons that won't make your relationship last longer than that terrible tribal sleeve you got when you're on vacation in Hawaii and felt like you were a local after 1 week there because the people on the island know how to work you for all your money.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. Apparently, tattoos signify that your testosterone is high and they're attracted to you because you can protect them, but not long term because they think you'll stray away. So, tattoos, good for the moment, bad for the long haul.
All right.
Also, Playboy is bringing back nudity.
Does that mean Birdman's like the smartest guy in the world?
Right.
He must be. Yeah, I was going to say. He's just like...
By definition. Yeah. According to this study, yeah.
Yeah. Playboy is loving
study.
Playboy is loving what Birdman's putting forth. Again, like I said, Playboy is also, lastly, bringing back nudity to their magazine. Apparently, for the past year, they went away from it.
Again, didn't work out.
Yeah.
Take away, like, the one thing you're known for.
I only read it for the articles.
Yeah. I didn't even realize they had pictures in there.
10 million other subscribers to their girlfriends and or significant others.
Yeah, so exactly. Playboy, I guess, is now a valuable magazine for guys looking for a little bit more action.
I bet those 10 issues will become collector's items.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they'll be pretty rare in the whole pantheon of Playboys.
Well, that's when I started buying them, so
of course.
Like I'm going to be rich.
Again, I wonder, like, what is their subscription still? Like, I know magazines in general are a dying industry.
For sure.
But I wonder, like, how is Playboy staying? Like, I know they're more than just a magazine now. They've definitely, you know, taken much more of a business now. But still, I wonder what their magazine subscriptions are.
I have at least one friend who still currently subscribes.
Really?
That's great.
Yeah. Okay.
That's great.
That was all my news today.
That's it?
All my news today.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Noobs, we want to talk to you about the Super Bowl.
Yes.
We discussed it at length last week. So, the floor is yours, my friend.
Oh, man. Yeah, I obviously wasn't here last week. I was feeling a little under the weather from my party on Sunday night.
Sure.
But and I also felt, to a certain extent, that I couldn't be very objective about it because I was still kind of swimming in the craziness of it.
Makes sense.
And it was funny because the party I was at, I was the only Patriots fan there until my other buddy Chris showed up in the fourth quarter and was rooting with me. But there was so much vitriol in the room that it was kind of awesome. But at the same time, they turned the television off right after the game. Like they didn't let me bask I didn't see any replays until the very next day.
They big like Atlanta Falcons fan or just hate the Patriots?
No, well, the one host's son is a Falcons fan but was not there. And the rest of the people are a mixture of Colts fans, Browns fans, Niners fans.
So everyone who
Raiders fans. Everybody who's not a Patriots fan because they're that polarizing hates them. I mean, these are people I've been watching football with for a long time, so they know who I was repping, and it was kind of cool. I went over at halftime, so it was 21-3, and I got there, and obviously I was like, okay, you know, it's still alive. Doesn't look good, but still alive, you know? Because really, that Brady interception pick six was going back 80 yards, you know what I mean? They were at least going to make it 14-3 or 14-7.
Yeah.
They had been moving the ball, blunt fumble, then you get the Brady pick six. It looks horrible. Still love the way that they came down and got three before halftime.
Yep.
And it harkened back for me the time when the Patriots were up 21-3 on the Colts in the 2006 AFC Championship.
Yeah.
And I was like, we got this. We're in Peyton's head again.
Right.
And then sure enough, they ran out of gas. And I think that was a lot to do with the fact that they had traveled to San Diego and had played a wild card game too. But anyway, I digress. The point being, at 21-3, my faith was still there. 28-3... You know what I mean? After they get, you know, basically three and out for their first possession in the second half, it wasn't looking good.
Right.
This is about the time I opened the bottle of Patron.
There you go.
And just start to have a good time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, why not?
Just go down into the blaze of glory right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, whatever.
If I'm going to lose, I'm going to look real good doing it.
We booze, baby. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, next thing I know, you know, they get the touchdown, miss the extra point. You know, Gostkowski, you know, kind of not having a good year. Also, shanked one in the championship game last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm still thinking, so what? It's the difference between 18 and 19. Okay, so they got to go for two, one more, or twice instead of once.
Yeah.
Whatever. And, you know, 28-12, starting to feel a little bit better at it. But, you know, I'm thinking Falcons offense, most prolific, eighth of all time. Not just, you know.
Yeah, no, they're killing.
Right? So I'm like, okay, there's probably no way they're going to keep him out of the end zone. I'm looking at the clock, or even just off the scoreboard. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, there's probably not enough possessions, right? I did not agree with the onside kick. I felt like you kick it deep, you know what I mean? Because if you give the Falcons the ball on the 40, they're going to score, right?
Right.
But that sack was absolutely huge.
It changed the game.
Changed the game. And then you get the holding call right after that, which, thankful when watching the replays, really was a holding call.
Yeah.
Right? And which was cool because I would hate to have had them like win on some BS, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get that, knocks them out of field goal range. I'm starting to like, okay, that's huge, right? This is actually still a two-score game. Then you get the fumble after the field goal. I kind of got ahead of myself right there. You have the immediate fumble on Matt Ryan, which why they're running or not running on third and one. And I get that that's the Falcons thing. That's what they do. But you can't have Ryan do a five-step drop back.
That was a terrible call. You have to at least
get the ball out of your hands in a slant or a quick out, something like that.
Sure.
You know, or run the ball. You've got two of the best running backs. So if you can't get third and one, in my opinion, maybe you don't deserve to win. Maybe Shanahan kind of outthought himself a little bit.
Yeah.
He's going for like the killer moves, I feel. He's like, I want to keep the pressure on. I want to score touchdowns all the time. And it's like, no, you should have just played.
But you got to keep the ball. You got to keep possession there on third and one. You know what I mean?
That was key. Yeah.
And so not only did they stop him, but they got the ball right there because of the fumble. First time Atlanta, I believe, had lost a fumble all postseason. So you wonder if these things just kind of, you know, were starting to even out a little bit. 28-20, they get the two. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, within like a 5-6 minute span, you know, 15 minutes in real time. I mean, all of a sudden, it was like one score game. And I looked at the clock, there was 5 minutes left. I was like, holy cow, they got a lot of time. And you have to feel that Atlanta was starting to feel the pressure.
Yep.
You know, but looking back on it, it's like basically every single thing that had to happen, happened.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
They got every single break.
One field goal. Yeah, they were breaks, but they're also amazing plays.
Oh, no doubt.
That last drive where they're backed up on the 9 or the 11, you know, and that Edelman catch. I mean, because the Patriots, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, poor us, like, but we had two brutal catches go against us, against the Giants, twice. And then the Seattle catch almost killed us.
Yeah.
So it was like, finally, one of these bounces went our way. Anyway, it was maybe the greatest catch of all time. I mean, he literally had like 0.00, you know, centimeters.
I would levitate, say the Tyree catch.
Levitate.
Yeah, I mean, the Tyree catch was amazing, but I'm saying Edelman's catch, the Tyree catch was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, that, like, broke the laws of physics.
Right.
You
know,
and you get the fact that, like, Eli somehow got out of that tackle. Yeah. There was two holds on that play they didn't call, but whatever.
Give it up
to Tyree.
Spoken like a true
whose last catch ever in the NFL, which is really surprising.
Yeah.
You think you make a play like that, somebody's going to give you a shot. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, you know, they come down, and at that point, it was almost like a sense of inevitability. I mean, you know, they come down, get the touchdown, and then they get the two-point conversion to Amendola, barely gets in there, you know, and then when they get the coin flip in overtime, I mean, my confidence level was through the roof, to be honest with you, you know, because I felt like their offense hadn't gotten stopped. I believe they went touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown.
Yeah.
In their last four. And so I was like, they're at least going to come down and get a field goal. And it's going to be like, can they hold them? It's going to be 3-3 and we're going to have two possessions or whatever. Or the Patriots will. But anyway, they come down. And I feel like the pass interference was legit. He wasn't looking back. You know, they've called, you know, least infractions or lesser infractions in my book. I hate to see him just give him the ball on the one. But, you know, I think it was legit. And, you know, James White, I think, like, probably deserve the MVP. I mean, Brady going for 466, you know, dropping back 60 times. It was amazing. But what that kid did, I mean, 3 overall touchdowns.
He deserved the MVP. I don't even think that's a question.
10 of 14, you know, catches to targets or whatever. 14 catches maybe?
Yeah, 14 catches.
Thank you. Yeah.
And which is amazing. And, you know, just all around great performance. And, I mean, I think Brady said, yeah, let's give him the truck like he gave to Butler. But they're actually giving trucks anymore.
Right, right.
You know, but Brady could probably afford to buy him a nicer thing than that Chevy. Yeah,
like a house. Like a house. Four of them.
Here you go, bud. Yeah. Good job. Thanks for number 5.
Yeah. Exactly.
But just, you know, I mean, going down, like, I don't want to put too much, you know, because it's like it's still sinking in, you know. But out of 51 Super Bowls, I mean, it's arguable that this is the greatest one. I mean, we've had some tight ones. Giants, Bills, Niners, Bengals, Rams, Titans.
Steelers, Cardinals. Pats in the past. Yeah.
I was going to say,
but considering it's the largest
Pats
comeback,
first time.
That was a phenomenal game. Yeah. That was a great game. Yeah. Great fourth quarter, back and forth. But this definitely has to go up on, like, maybe the Mount Rushmore. I'm not going to call it one right now.
Yeah, it's definitely
But it's on the Mount Rushmore.
I literally had someone try to tell me that this game wasn't that good. He was like, eh, well, like, the first half was so boring. I was like, really? Like, you had everything. You had an insurmountable lead. It had overtime. It had,
It had tons of drama. It didn't have, I think we were all expecting them to trade scores. And since it was such a drastic swing where the Falcons went up so big, 25 at one point, you know, I mean, I think people around the country like were just salivating at a Patriots.
I mean, they didn't
not
score
just
a for
loss,
a quarter
but
and a half.
An embarrassment. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I'm happy for Brady. I would love to see Goodell hand him two trophies, or at least the one. I think maybe they handed it to Kraft first. I don't know. I didn't get to watch the game or watch the post game. Jen and Doug.
Was everyone just like looking at you with utter like?
No, these are all my close friends. Okay. But I mean, yeah, I was catching tons of.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's hating on you.
But at the same time, they were like, you know, being cool and saying congratulations. And they were like, man, he really is the best. So I did get a fair amount of that, to be fair to them. But at the same time, it's one of those things where they're like, congratulations. It's like, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's like,
right.
You know, I brought my hat to the, you know, I brought my hat. I was representing.
That's what made him win right there.
I had my Patriots.
Undying support.
Yeah, for sure. That's clearly what did it. Not Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Or that team. It was a great team. Great win. It was cool to see Belichick open up a little bit. He actually went to the ESPN.
He was smiling, man.
He was smiling.
Oh, man.
He was
Did you guys hear that failed chant he tried to get going? No days off. Oh, and the whole crowd is just like, no.
Hey, we're bossy. We're going to go
during
drink
the
right
parade.
Now.
During the parade. Because, I mean, first of all, that's who wants to get excited about.
No days off.
A day off.
Yeah.
You know, so the whole crowd was like, I mean, it's a Tuesday. This is a day off.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was funny.
I think Do Your Job would have gotten him.
Belichick, I mean, he's so unlikable, but he's so great.
Did you see that train wreck, though, of a post-game interview when Berman tried to, like, anoint him with the headset instead of just handing him the headset? Berman takes off his own headset. And Belichick's like, I'm here for your farewell tour or whatever. And then, like, Berman's trying to like put it on his head, like he's crowning him or something, and it was super awkward.
Oh man, I'm
and
mad
then
I
like some,
that.
Then some, you know, one of the you know stage techs or whatever came up and was like, "Here, you know." And
here's
it was
a proper way to do it.
Yeah, and it
you're
was just,
a man.
And the
you
guy,
can do it yourself.
And then Berman's like, "Oh, I guess you've worn a head, you know, headset before." It was just like it was brutal.
Yeah,
wow,
you know, it was super awkward.
I'm really I'm upset. I missed that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, especially for Berman's last roll around.
That's what I mean. It was like he just was like so good for so many years, and then he makes that gaffe. It was almost like he was getting starstruck. You know what I mean? It was weird.
How bizarre!
It's on YouTube. It's pretty awkward.
Yeah, I'm gonna
for those fans of awkwardness,
I do love it. Yeah. Yes, I'm a fan.
And then you know Randy Moss, he was just like terrible. All he could say is unbelievable, man. You know, just like no insight whatsoever.
Right?
There's no like I don't know. There's such like a dearth of like actual breakdown. You know what I mean?
It's just a lot of praise. Football, especially. I don't watch pregame or postgame or anything anymore.
They don't tell you anything. It's just cliches.
There's like two people that actually follow Key and Faze. One of them that actually explain football in a way that's insightful and real, and you know, is still entertaining, but it's actually breaking down what's going on the field and not just you know the same analysis Phil Simms gives us, for example.
Right,
so look anyway,
for the they all love to agree with each other on that show too. It's like, yeah, what he said, and it's like, okay,
yeah. Well, Noobs, I'm glad. I'm happy for you, bud.
Thanks,
Atlanta.
Don't trust Atlanta.
I try to tell you, don't trust him.
He said it for 2 years.
He had a nice little compilation last week of it.
Yeah. Oh, would you like to hear that compilation?
Oh,
right
you actually
now?
Have it queued up right now?
I think I have it somewhere. I could pull it up.
I'd like to
hear it. You've been really excited. Don't tell me. Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, here we go.
Listen up, kids. Don't trust the Falcons.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. You cannot, under any circumstance, trust the Falcons.
As Jerome has always said, don't trust Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like they have so many issues that Jerome loves to bring up.
Nice. Yeah, I can't go all season long and say don't trust the Falcons and pick them in the Super Bowl.
that would be great, I feel.
I can't pick Atlanta just because all year long, since I think week 3 or 4, I've been saying don't trust Atlanta on this show. So it's not just that. They have had a history of being untrustworthy. And so until they won the Super Bowl, I'm going to continue to say don't trust the Falcons. And if you're betting out there, take New England. And I was right. I just want to remind everyone as often as possible, you should never, under any circumstances, trust the Atlanta Falcons.
We were all pretty close on the score.
Yeah, no, we were. Yeah. You
know, I think we were all within 5 or so.
Yeah, I mean, said 35-31, I think.
I said 31-28, so.
You were the closest then.
I mean, granted, I did have the Falcons winning, though.
Right.
But still. score wise.
So you didn't take Jerozan.
I had 37-35.
I mean, just because like yeah. I don't know, I wanted to see them win. I think it would have been a nice story for them. Like, oh man, we conquered the Patriots, man. Like that was an actual season for us, you know.
You know what I think? It would be good for people. I don't know if this is going to continue as a trend, and I don't know if it's because teams start out tight or just don't go for it. But this is the sixth or seventh Super Bowl now in a row where there's been zero scoring in the first quarter.
Yeah.
So those fans of prop bets out there.
Right,
there you go.
Something to look for.
Yeah.
I went to Reno the night before and stayed at the Peppermill.
Yeah,
and let's just say I put a little bit of money on the home team.
Yeah,
and man, I was sweating it. You know what I mean?
Oh, I can imagine.
At one point, I was just like, whatever. You know what I mean? I didn't rip up the tickets, thank God.
Yeah,
I know better.
Did you take the points or?
Well, I got them on a teaser, so I had them at plus four.
Okay.
So I was like, even at that last time where I was like, even if they don't make the two, I still cover. But to be, I mean, 100% honest with you, like, I really wasn't even concerned about my tickets. I just didn't want to see them get blown out.
Sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
At that point in time, it's a dignity sake.
Yeah, and I did a couple different interesting things, you know, with the money line or whatever. I actually parlayed them with the Celtics for, like, a little Boston luck.
There you go.
They played that morning and beat the Clippers. But anyway, I had some fun. It was a good night in Reno. But, yeah, it wound up being a really good day overall. So
right on,
yeah.
It was Super Bowl Sunday.
But
to
I mean,
remember,
I don't want to like you know make this about you know gaming, you know, because this is obviously for entertainment purposes only.
Sure.
But those who choose to drive to the Nevada border might find themselves a plethora, if you will, of things that you can bet on.
Anything from the
coin flip to you know who the MVP is
to more
obscure esoteric stuff, like you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like what the first play or how many yards it's gonna be, what the longest touchdown is, you know what I mean? Which was
prop bets are always fun.
Over 49, I think that's super solid to go take the under and then that 80-yard pick six. So you just don't know.
Yeah.
But it's good times.
Yeah.
Derek, what do you want to do next? Because I want to save the most hated fan bases for next week.
Okay.
Because this is something that could take up a lot of time.
Yeah,
it could be the entire show.
Again, you're all coming to my side of the hate, man. It's fun.
So it's up to you. Where do you want to go from here?
To the dark side.
Yeah.
To the Derek side.
Should we do a little grinds my gears right now? Or
I'm happy to, all right. Sure.
I got a few for you all to enjoy yourselves.
Oh, I got that music coming in kind of hot. All right, I don't have the sound effect, so you just do your thing, buddy.
Okay, yeah. All right, so things that really grind my gears, people, or boils my water, anything that happens, it just makes me irritated. People that put the, you know, fake stuff to, like, make a video, like, when they trip or they're feel like they're in need and they fake it to try to get a reaction out of people. I'm just wondering, have people ever heard of the story of the little boy who cries wolf? What's going to happen one of these days? You're going to legitimately be in a situation where you're going to need help, and people are going to be too afraid to be made fun of in some video that they're not going to do anything for you because they think you're just trying to pull a point. So it really annoys me when you try to just set up a situation to gain or some type of response or something. It's all fake, and it's just, you're not going to get – it's not helping anyone out in the future, okay, people?
So fake falling.
Fake falling, yes. That's really what happened. When you sent me that video of that girl who faked fall on Instagram, I was like – that annoyed me. She like knocked over an entire like set of Tupperware or something.
Yeah, it was dumb.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And I've seen it happen before. It's like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to Google marching band fake falling?
I have not.
I think
no.
that might.
Oh,
you know,
that's
be a
that,
too much for you to handle.
Just,
yeah.
I might explode right there. That just might kill me right there. Okay. Another thing that really grinds my gears. I don't like people that are named after their fathers. Or juniors in general.
What?
I don't know what it is. Some of you are just like, oh, I'm like, really?
What is wrong with you?
Really?
You're
that's
a monster.
Like, how am I a monster for saying...
I can hear people turning those channels right now.
How dare you insult me? Because there are a lot of juniors out there. There are a lot of thirds. But I'm like, yo, break the name barrier up, people. Like, you're making them feel like it has to be you. But it's like, no, that's like half of you. There's also your mom in there, too. Like, you know? Like, why does it have to be the guy that's usually the junior? Like,
well,
give
that's
him a new
one
name.
Thing I do...
Grant
just
him
like
something else.
The women should be able to be juniors.
They
too.
Should be. If they're again, it only goes for guys. I feel if we're going to do it both ways. But again, yeah. I still feel if you're having a child, give them a new name
and what
give them a new chance.
When you and addresses too to couples like Mr. and Mrs. Joshua. This
right.
You know what I mean?
That's
like
weird.
She has to take both his names.
Right.
That's just weird. It's very patriarchal.
I mean, I'm not trying to go down the whole patriarchal society right now. I'm just mainly saying. Give your kid a new identity and a new name. Because then it's like, you have so many Johns in the world already, okay? We don't need a John Jr.
Fair enough.
All right? Enough of them. Yeah, okay, come on. It's a real thing to be not liking that.
You got another one?
Yes, I have one last one.
Okay, cool.
So this one, like I said, I was watching the New York Knicks games recently, and the commentator called the Knicks Spike Lee's team, and that just irritated me to none else. Because it's just like saying he's just a fan who sits close to the court. He has nothing to do with the Knicks other than giving them a lot of money for his tickets. And they're not Spike Lee's team in any way, shape, or form. The Knicks have been around a lot longer than Spike Lee. And that's just over-aggressive fandom. Spike Lee, you're my target for this one. It's not your team.
Okay.
I grind my gears.
All right. Well, speaking of grinding gears, a family man in Galveston, Texas, must have been grinding the hell out of his family's gears. And this is, in my opinion, one of the best obituaries I've ever read, if not the very best of all time. Leslie Ray Sharping died at the age of 75, which, and I quote from his family, which was 29 years longer than expected and much longer than he deserved. Let me just read a quick excerpt from here.
I like it so far.
Leslie's hobbies included being abusive to his family, expediting trips to heaven for the beloved family pets, and fishing, which he was less skilled at with than the previous mentioned. Leslie's life served no other obvious purpose. He did not contribute to society or serve his community, and he possessed no redeeming qualities besides quick-witted sarcasm, which was amusing during his early sober days. With Leslie's passing, he will be missed only for what he never did, being a loving husband, father, and good friend. No services will be held, there will be no prayers for eternal peace, and no apologies to the family he tortured. Leslie's remains will be cremated and kept in the barn until Ray, the family donkey's wood shavings, run out. Leslie's passing proves that evil does in fact die, and hopefully marks a time of healing and safety for all.
Wow.
I got another excerpt here if you would like to hear this part. At a young age, Leslie quickly became a model example of bad parenting combined with mental illness and a complete commitment to drinking, drugs, womanizing, and being generally offensive. Just brilliant.
This can't be real. Like, why would you even put that out there at that point?
It says he leaves behind two relieved children, six grandchildren, and countless other victims, including ex-wife, relatives, friends, neighbors, doctors, nurses, and random strangers that are all happy that he is no longer with us.
I guess people really didn't like this Leslie man. Wow.
So, I just wanted to share that because...
he made an impression.
No doubt.
I feel like if we were more honest with our eulogies, I think a lot more would be closer resembling to what Leslie was out there.
Well, I just like the fact that to post an obituary in the paper, you have to pay for it. And so his family hated this man so much. Yeah, they're like, yo, let's roast this guy even beyond the grave. I don't care. The world needs to know about Leslie Ray Sharpie.
That would have been better. They should have thrown a roast for his funeral.
That would have been good.
And have everybody just come up and talk mad smack about him.
Right.
And they could like throw tomato cans at his open casket or whatever.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or tomatoes, rotten tomatoes, not cans. Or
maybe cans. I like pickles hurt more. But these cans, so it doesn't matter. Yeah.
I enjoy everything about that. I do agree, Derek, this world would be a lot funnier place if we were much more honest during our eulogy of people. If we could kind of say, you know, tell it like it is.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, what we often do.
He was a great man. He was behind a lasting legacy that will never be replaced.
Yeah.
It really was. Someone else was born.
Well, it sounds horrible whatever he must have done to his family, but like at least the author of that was like not someone who is like spent that last 20 years in denial about how horrible he was and would like, you know, protect him in front of friends. No, he's actually a very sweet man if you just, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So. He apparently wasn't to anyone.
No.
Yeah. All right, good times, Leslie.
I just wanted
good night,
to
Leslie.
Yeah, good night.
I would say RIP, but they don't think they want that to happen.
With that, we bid you adieu. Before we get out of here, wanted to send a quick RIP, speaking of people passing, to Al Jarreau. That's where I got my name. I got to meet the man on two different occasions. Couldn't be a more accommodating, kind, nice human being. And so it sucks that we lost a jazz legend, but big shouts, RIP, Al Jarreau. And I know you wanted to shout someone out before we get
out of here. RIP here. I'm actually, one of my boys back down in L.A., Jesse Hitt, and his girlfriend, Sydney, just had a baby, Robert Edward Hitt, born yesterday. He's going to be an Italian stallion because that's what Jesse is, man. So shouts to you, man, and the starting your family, brother. Congrats.
Awesome. So make sure you tune in next Monday, 5:30 p.m., talking about practice every Monday. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show where you can hear flashes of brilliance like this.
39 was last year, and he could barely throw a ball out at a barnside.
Good night, people. Stay tuned for the show. It is next. And all of our wonderful programming right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
Here it is.
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
I didn't start the show with ladies and gentlemen or with the word guys. I'm just no hooks now. I'm on my own. It's naked speech. I've noticed that a lot of people seem to want to hide away, get a break from this seemingly frantic flow of information. I think some